We're approaching Starbase 313, where we will pick up a shipment of scientific equipment for transport to a Federation outpost in the Guernica system. During the journey, we will be hosting a special guest.
Come.
You wanted to see me, Captain?
Yes, Miss LaForge. It seems that the exemplary nature of your work has caught the attention of Starfleet Command. In fact, someone is coming on board just to see the engine modifications you've made.
Who, Captain?
The senior design engineer at the Theoretical Propulsion Group, Dr. Leah Brahms.
Leah is coming here. Whew. Well, this is terrific.
It is?
Well, I mean, I've studied her schematics for years. She was responsible for a lot of the engine design on the Enterprise.
Well, it should be a very enjoyable visit then. She'll be transporting on board as soon as we reach the Starbase. Would you like to greet her on our behalf?
I would love to, Captain. Thank you.
Geordi nods, smiling, and exits. Picard watches him sternly, and as the door closes, smiles to himself as he turns to a data console. Guinan wanders from table to table in 10 forward, looking over to see Geordi at the counter.
You keep picking at that uniform, you're gonna wear it out.
I guess I am a little nervous. It's not every day a man comes face to face with his dream.
What?
Okay, you remember about a year ago when we were caught in that booby trap that Minthar set?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. While we were trying to get out of it, I went down to the holodeck to study an engine prototype that was made when the Enterprise was first designed. And the computer, well, it gave me an image of the engine, but it also created this hologram of the designer, Dr. Leah Brahms.
So you met a computer-simulated female?
Yeah, but not an ordinary computer-simulated female. I mean, she was brilliant, of course, but warm, you know, friendly. And it was like we worked as one. I would start a sentence, she'd finish it. What I didn't think of, she did. It was just so comfortable. Okay, I know it was just a holographic image, but the computer was able to incorporate personality traits from her Starfleet record.
You know, Geordi, everybody falls in love with a fantasy every now and then.
No, Guinan. See, you've got it all wrong. I'm not necessarily expecting anything romantic here. It's just, I know whatever, Leah Brahms and I are going to be good friends.
Guinan shakes her head, smiling, as Geordi exits and heads to the transporter room.
Dr. Brahms is ready to transport, sir.
Okay, bring her over.
The transporter powers up and a column of sparkling light particles materializes, quickly forming into a tall, dark-haired woman.
Hi. Welcome aboard, Dr. Brahms. I'm Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge, Chief Engineer.
LaForge? So you're the one who's fouled up my engine designs?
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Galaxy's Child, voiced by Marston York. The Federation Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown, streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy as a comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. Theme by Jerry Goldsmith and Alexander Courage. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Geordi leads Dr. Brahms through engineering.
The matter-antimatter ratio has been changed. The mixture isn't as rich as regulations dictate.
Experience has shown me that too high a ratio diminishes efficiency. I worked with the mixture until I found the right balance.
The magnetic plasma transfer to the warp field generators doesn't correspond to the recommended specs.
Right. Again, I adjusted the flow. Sometimes things happen a little differently in space than they do on the drawing board.
Is that a criticism, Commander?
No, of course not. It's just a well-known fact. There's theory and there's application. They don't always jive.
You've charted a completely new swap-out schedule for main components replacement.
You bet. I found Starfleet estimates for the MTBF units to be unrealistic. I simply determined my own schedule based on observation and experience.
Is that going to be your only defense, Commander? That same tired rhetoric? Out here in the field, we learn things you designers couldn't possibly understand.
In the first place, Doctor, I'm not aware of needing any defense. And in the second place, if you're determined to be...
Dr. Brahms, you have an incoming message on subspace.
I'd like to hear this message privately.
In my office, be my guest.
Thank you.
Commander, I am picking up some unusual readings in the Alpha Omicron system. At this range, all I am able to discern is that it is an asymmetrical field of intense energy.
What type of radiation signature?
Unknown, sir. The Alpha Omicron system is yet to be charted. I recommend we take this opportunity for further research.
Well, we're way ahead of schedule. Alter course for Alpha Omicron.
Dr. Brahms walks slowly through engineering to join Geordi at the warp drive console. She stands beside him, watching him.
Dr. Brahms, there's no reason for us to argue. We're on the same side here.
I'm aware of that.
So why don't I take you on a little tour, show you the adjustments I've made, why I think they work, and we can begin pulling together on this? Okay. And why not start with the dilithium chamber? Okay?
Okay.
The anomaly is orbiting the seventh planet, sir. It is a mass of plasma energy contained within discrete boundaries by an outer covering of silicates, actinides, and carbonaceous chondrites.
On screen. Magnify. Is it a ship?
It does not conform to any known design.
Any records of similar phenomena in Starfleet listings?
No, sir. This has never been seen before.
A wide smile creases Picard's face.
Ensign Rega. Ahead, one quarter impulse.
Aye, sir.
Put us in orbit of the seventh planet. Keep us a relative distance of 10 kilometers from the object.
Alert science stations to stand by. Tell them to coordinate all efforts with Commander Data.
Aye, sir.
Geordi pulls a tube from the warp core base.
What happened here? Who did this?
You remember the crystal's been reoriented to adjust the direction of the lattice structure.
Remember? Why would I remember?
Right. Why would you? Well, the ship was experiencing some difficulty, and we made it, hoping that it would work, and it did.
So it was your idea?
Not exclusively, no.
It's curious. This modification was due to be introduced
in the next class starship.
Yes. How did you know that?
I didn't. I mean... Well, it's the next logical step, right? Listen, Doctor, sometimes we have to fly by the seat of our pants out here, so it stands to reason that once in a while we're going to come up with the same solutions you do.
Geordi walks away and she stares after him in angry confusion.
Listen, I've got a personnel review scheduled to start in about 5 minutes, and I know it's been a long day for you. So why don't we get together later? Sort of plan out our agenda for the next day or two?
Agenda?
What it is we want to accomplish here, how we might best go about that. Maybe even get to know each other a little bit. It might make this easier.
Maybe you're right.
Okay, great. How about my quarters? 1900 hours? Maybe even have a bite to eat. I make a great funjili.
I love funjili.
Is that right? Huh.
As Geordi exits, she watches him, still confused but no longer angry. She leans against the console, lost in thought. The Enterprise is closed on the flattened globular anomaly orbiting the planet ahead of them.
Sensors are having difficulty penetrating the interior. However, the radiated output suggests a coherent system of energy storage and utilization.
That it was constructed by someone?
It is a possibility. However, the sensor data gathered thus far suggests a naturally occurring phenomenon with biological properties.
A life form?
Yes, Captain.
Mr. Worf, begin compiling readings for transmission to Starfleet headquarters. Mr. Data, prepare to launch 3 level 5 probes, ensign, aft thrusters. Standard observational posture.
Level 5 probe sequence ready for launch, Commander. On your mark.
Stand by, Mr. Data.
Aye, sir.
Counselor Troy joins Picard on the bridge.
What would it be like, Counselor? No ship, no bulky spacesuits. Just to live between the stars. Have the entire galaxy as a home.
A thin, wide band of light spreads from the life form.
Captain, we are being probed. Recommend we raise shields.
Negative, Mr. Worf. If we are curious about it, it has a perfect right to be curious about us.
Change in readings, sir. The lifeform has increased its energy output by 50%.
It is moving toward us.
Reverse course, ensign. 300 kph.
Aye, sir.
Easy. I don't want to alarm or provoke it.
Straggling flickers of static light burst in a continuous stream from the creature flashing over the saucer's hull, causing the Enterprise to shudder violently. In engineering, Geordi and his crew rush to stabilize the juddering starship.
We are caught in an energy damping field, sir.
Ray shields.
No effect, Captain.
Reverse power, full impulse.
Impulse engines at full power.
No change in position, sir.
Red alert!
Ms. LaForge, prepare to initiate warp drive.
Sorry, Captain, there's too much interference to form a warp field.
Warning, radiation levels at 65 millirads per minute and rising.
Riker to Dr. Crusher.
Go ahead, Commander.
All decks, prepare for radiation protocol.
Acknowledged. Crusher out. Warning, radiation levels at 300 millirads per minute and rising. Lethal exposure in 1 minute.
Mr. Worf, ready phasers. Minimum power.
Ready.
The static light disappears and the creature floats away from them.
Radiation levels dropping back to normal, Captain. Energy patterns are breaking down, sir. The radiation signature is no longer stable. Energy output is negligible, sir. Radiation patterns no longer coherent. I believe it is dead, sir.
Troy looks at the captain as Riker turns slowly towards him. Picard simply stares at the creature's image on the screen. The Enterprise maintains a position alongside the creature. Picard's eyes are filled with sadness.
We're out here to explore. To make contact with other life forms. To establish peaceful relations, but not to interfere. Absolutely not to destroy. And yet, look at what we have just done.
Captain, everything you did was consistent with established Starfleet procedures.
Number one, you have the bridge.
Captain, sensors are picking up a new energy reading from the life form.
Elaborate, Data.
There is a new concentration of ionizing radiation growing in the center of its body.
Then? Perhaps it's still alive.
Geordi places flowers in his quarters.
Okay. Computer, subdued lighting. No, that's too much. I don't want it dark, I want it cozy.
Please state your request in precise candle power.
See, it's not a matter of precision, computer. It's a matter of mood. Brighter than this.
more. More. A little more. Ho! Right there. Perfect. Now, some music. Maybe a little soft jazz. No, that's not right. Let me think here. Oh, I got it. Some Brahms, a piano etude. That's too corny. Probably everybody thinks of that. Computer, just give me some guitar, classical guitar. Doesn't matter who. Yes, thank you. Come on in.
Oh, you've changed.
Yeah, the uniforms are so formal.
You're less formal than any Starfleet officer I've ever met, Commander.
Am I? I really just wanted to make you feel more comfortable.
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm sorry, come in and have a seat. Can I get you a drink?
No, thank you.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your hair, it's different.
Different than a few hours ago?
No, I mean, it's different than I expected. Different from your Starfleet records.
Oh, yes, I used to wear it up.
Yeah.
Why would you need to see my personnel files?
Standard procedure when guests come on board, protocol. I mean, it was nothing specific, actually, just, you know.
Commander LaForge, if I seem to be somewhat unyielding in my views, it's because I care so very much about my work.
Oh, I know.
To be honest, people find me cold, cerebral, lacking in humor.
But they're wrong, I assure you.
Well, I try not to be that way, but when it comes to my designs, my engines, especially the ones on the Enterprise,
it's like they're your children.
Yes, exactly.
So naturally, you're a little possessive about them.
You understand that?
Yes, I do. You see, I feel the same way.
That's amazing. I don't think anyone has ever... Sometimes I feel more comfortable with engine schematics than people.
Well, maybe you just haven't met the right people. You hungry? I'm hungry. Why don't I just start dinner, okay?
Commander.
Please, call me Geordi.
I'm sorry. I hope that I didn't put you to a lot of trouble, but I can't stay.
You can't?
I just don't think that it's appropriate. I'll meet with you at 0800 tomorrow. I'm preparing a list of discrepancies that I've identified in your modifications. I hope, now that we've reached an understanding, that you'll be prepared to discuss them with me in a more objective fashion.
Sure. Fine.
Thank you. Good night, Commander.
Good night.
This new concentration of energy was detected only after the surrounding material became inert.
Could this be some sort of tissue regeneration?
The radiation signature is similar to the original pattern, but with significant differences.
Some kind of reaction to our phaser fire, perhaps?
I believe it is separate and self-contained within the body of the dead life form.
Another entity?
Yes, sir. It appears to be a smaller, less developed version of the original creature.
Huh. No wonder it attacked us. It was about to give birth.
Thank you.
the Enterprise holds its position as Picard calls a meeting in the conference room.
Doctor.
It's dangerous to generalize about new life forms, but based on my experience with other beings who bear their young in this manner, I'd say that the offspring is still premature. Otherwise, it would be able to break through the outer body shell of the parent.
Will this creature be able to survive on its own without the parent?
There's no way to tell. We don't have enough information about the biofunctions of the adult, much less the child.
Is there anything we can do to help?
If we were in sick bay, I'd try a cesarean section. The first priority is to free it from the body of the parent.
We could use our phasers as a scalpel.
Yes, that might work.
I advise against this, Captain. The parent proved to be a threat to the ship. We do not know how the offspring will react.
Your objection is noted, Mr. Worf, but we are directly responsible for the death of the parent. We cannot simply wash our hands of it now. Doctor, we will proceed at your discretion.
Dr. Brahms joins Geordi in engineering.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first thing I'd like to do is inspect the power transfer conduits.
You realize the only way to inspect them is to crawl inside.
I designed them, Commander. I know what's involved.
They change into yellow work overalls and crawl into the power conduits.
Here we go. Power taps, watch yourself.
The acoustic signature doesn't sound right.
You're probably the only other person in the galaxy who could pick that up.
What's causing it?
It's right up here.
I've never seen anything like this before. What is it?
It's a mid-range phase adjuster. Puts the plasma back into phase after inertial distortion.
This has never been done before. I don't even think this has ever even been conceived of before. You should write a scientific paper.
Dr. Noob. Writing is not one of my strong suits.
But this kind of refinement should be shared. And you deserve the credit for it.
Well, maybe we could collaborate. Writing is one of your strong points.
Commander LaForge, ever since I came on board, there seems to be something a little peculiar about your attitude. You seem to know things about me, even though we've never met.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've studied you. Your writings, your Starfleet file. I've admired you. You know, your work.
Well, I'm flattered, but,
And... well, I really wanted to meet you for a long time. And I'd like to think that we could become friends. Maybe good friends.
I thought you knew. I mean, you know everything else about me. But, Commander, if I'm hearing what I think I'm hearing, then you should know that I'm married. Set phaser power to 3%, narrow beam.
3%.
All right. Here we go.
The thin beam gently cuts through the creature's outer skin.
The first incision is complete.
Ideally, the offspring should now be able to push through the outer shell of the parent by itself.
The skin bulges around the cut.
I think it needs a little more help.
We've done all we can. I don't want to risk hitting the offspring by accident.
Suddenly, a flat, rounded body pushes through the slit.
Come on. You can do it.
The bridge crew watches intently as the oval-shaped creature pushes out of its parent's dead body. Flat ridges surround its central oval body and a long tail flicks out last of all.
Ah, Captain, I'd like to announce the birth of a large baby... something.
Well done.
Doctor. Well done.
How could it have been so far off? It was based on every piece of information on record about Leah Brahms.
Okay, with an admitted margin for error, but
this is an error that's about a light year wide.
Not what you hope for, huh?
Hope? Guinan, the woman is about as friendly as a Circassian plague cat. Only cares about her work, hates what I've done to her engines. And to top it all off, she's married. Computer never even told me she was married.
Computer glitch?
Must have been.
Maybe it was your old visor.
What are you talking about?
Well, the one you wore when you were on the holodeck with her.
Guinan, it's the same visor.
Really? Oh, I figured it was probably the one that lets you see what you want to see.
What's that supposed to mean?
You saw exactly what you wanted to see on the holodeck. Sure, the computer made it look like her, gave it personality. But when it came to the relationship, LaForge, you filled in the blanks. And you had a perfectly wonderful, marvelous little fantasy. Until the real Leia showed up and ruined it. Now, she's probably done the most horrific thing one person can do to another. Not live up to your expectations. So I'd take a good, long, hard look at her, LaForge. See her for who she is. Not for what you want her to be.
The lifeform's patterns are stable, Captain. It seems able to withstand the solar radiation.
Good. Ensign, set a course for the Guernica system.
Aye, sir.
We're not staying?
No, number one. We've done all we can to help. Now it's time to move on. This creature can continue its existence without any further interference from us.
It might be wise to put some distance between us before we initiate warp drive.
Very well. 500 kph, Ensign. Engage.
The creature watches as the Enterprise moves away. Turning to its parent one last time, it swings up behind the starship.
Captain, it is following us, maintaining a distance of 4 kilometers directly astern.
17 degrees to port, Ensign.
Aye, sir.
It is turning with us, sir.
Increase to half impulse.
It is matching our velocity.
It's imprinted on us. It thinks the Enterprise is its mother.
Change in energy reading, sir. I am reading an internal buildup of gamma particles.
Its velocity is increasing. It is moving directly toward the ship.
Evasive maneuvers, full.
Report.
Minor damage.
The creature is now in direct contact with the hull, sir.
On screen.
The creature has latched onto the hull below the saucer section. Suddenly, the lights dim.
Mr. Data.
Sir, the lifeform is draining energy directly from the fusion reactors.
It's feeding off the energy of the Enterprise as it would from its mother.
What action should we take, sir?
None, Lieutenant. None at all.
Captain's log supplemental. Since the newborn has attached itself to the hull, it has been making greater and greater demands on the ship's energy. But we have been able to stabilize our power systems temporarily.
How long before the power drain becomes critical, Miss LaForge?
Continues to increase at the same rate, 6, maybe 7 hours.
We may be able to modify the engine to extend that a little longer, Captain.
Your help will be appreciated, Doctor.
By then, Junior may not need us anymore.
Mr. Data, is there any way to determine what the destination of the parent might have been?
I can't attempt to extrapolate from the heading it was on when we encountered it, sir.
Perhaps it was on its way to provide a safe and supportive environment for its newborn.
We might be able to deliver it to the same destination.
Which brings up the question of how do we get Junior off the hull once we get there?
It's almost completely covering the door of Shuttle Bay 2. If we open the door and deactivate the atmospheric force field...
The pressure from inside the ship might push it away from the hull.
Make it so.
Sir, is the appellation Junior to be the life form's official name?
No, it is not.
We can save a lot of energy just by improving engine efficiency.
We've run into similar problems before. That's actually why I reoriented the lithium crystal.
And why you added the mid-range phase adjusters.
Right.
Commander, it seems that you've made a lot more modifications than I'm aware of. Do you have a file on all the work you've done?
Mm-hmm. It's in the computer.
Good.
Picard, LaForge.
LaForge here.
Commander, I need to see you on the bridge.
On my way, Captain. You go on ahead, Dr. Ensign Pavla can show you the file on the engine modifications.
She enters the turbolift and makes her way to engineering. She stares at a computer file.
Phase coils upgraded to 55 field densities. Plasma inducers interlinked with generator.
Ensign, would there be any other files with data on the original engine specifications?
I believe so, Doctor.
This file utilizes the prototype engine schematic.
It's a holographic program set in the drafting room at Utopia Planitia.
I'll run it on holodeck 3.
Quickly rising, she heads down to the holodeck. Striding purposefully out of the turbolift, she stands before a door panel.
Computer, replay program 9140. Engine schematic at Utopia Planitia.
Program loaded and ready.
She went where?
Holodeck 3, sir. I didn't think there was anything wrong with her seeing the file.
No, of course not. Nothing at all!
I'm with you every day, Geordi. Every time you look at this engine, you're looking at me. Every time you touch it, it's me.
Geordi rushes onto the holodeck.
Computer freeze program.
Now, I understand.
No, you don't. It's not the way this may look.
I called up a replay of the program file. I was all ready to compliment you again, Commander, for constructing a program which contained the prototype engine, so that you would always have a baseline reference for your modifications. And now I find that it's all about a fantasy plaything.
It's not like that. I swear.
I'm outraged by this. I have been invaded, violated. How dare you use me like this? How far did it go, anyway? Was it good for you?
Nothing like that happened. It was a professional collaboration.
Oh, I can tell. Every time you're touching the engine, you're touching me, real professional.
Look, if you watched the whole program, you saw what it was. We were working together to solve a problem in a crisis situation.
How do I know how far it went? How many other programs did you create? Perhaps dozens of them, one for every day of the week, one for every mood.
All right, look. Ever since you came on board, you've been badgering me, and I've taken it. I've shown you courtesy and respect and a hell of a lot of patience. Oh, no, wait a minute. I've tried to understand you. I've tried to get along with you. And in return, you accused, tried, and convicted me without even bothering to hear my side of it. So I'm guilty, okay? But not of what you think. Of something much worse. I'm guilty of reaching out to you. Of hoping we could connect. I'm guilty of a terrible crime, Doctor. I offered you friendship.
Geordi steps away from her and turns, quickly striding away, leaving her alone and confused.
Captain, its total volume has increased by 8.5% in the last 3 hours. I now read it at 46 million cubic meters.
Captain, I have completed the analysis of the Parent's course through the system.
It was headed for an asteroid belt.
Ensign Rega, set a course 259, mark 318. Hop in, boss.
Aye, sir.
Hold a position 500 kilometers from the periphery of the asteroid field.
Aye, sir.
The Enterprise approaches a wide band of rocks.
Difficulty getting a clear sensor reading beyond 4,000 kilometers.
The asteroids contain large quantities of mechlinite, which is interfering with our scanners. I am also detecting traces of cephnium, a compound found in the outer shell of the parent being. It is likely the asteroids provide sustenance for this life form, sir.
We could leave the child here if Data's right. It would have an ample supply of food.
Agreed. Miss LaForge, are you ready to separate our guest from the hull?
Ready, Captain.
Proceed.
The door to the shuttle bay slides upwards, revealing the flattened ridges along the side of part of the creature.
I am deactivating the atmospheric force field now.
The ridges flutter as the bay depressurizes with a rush of wind. The lights dim throughout the Enterprise and fear flickers in the eyes of the bridge crew.
Engineering report.
The power drain just jumped to 93%, sir.
Captain, the offspring is emitting high-frequency radio transmissions.
Is it trying to communicate?
The power drain is increasing. Approaching auto shutdown.
Take the engines offline. Supplement with auxiliary power only. All decks go to emergency level 7. Life support and critical operations only.
Mr. Forge, what is your status?
Sorry, Captain. The bay's been completely depressurized, but it's still hanging on.
I am detecting other radio transmissions, Captain.
Sensors detect movement within the asteroid field. Bearing 257, mark 161.
On screen. Magnify.
Three oval shapes appear.
At their current speed, sir, the entities will intercept us in 10 minutes, 31 seconds.
Weapon status?
Auxiliary power only. 2 seconds phase of fire available.
The three huge creatures drift closer and Picard stares fearfully at the screen. The adult creatures appear motionless but move quickly towards the Enterprise. Geordi rushes to the main engineering console.
Ensign, power readings.
We're on auxiliary generators. Life support is functioning. That's about all.
Keep your eye on that generator console. We've got less than 6 minutes to get that baby off our back before his relatives get here. Whenever we try, Junior responds by sucking up more energy.
Commander, I have a thought. If you're interested.
Of course. What is it?
If the baby is nursing, perhaps what we need is to find a way to sour the milk. If we could contaminate the energy he's feeding on, we could try to
make it unpalatable somehow.
Uh-huh.
But the emergency generators are all we've got.
And how do we modify them without losing life support?
Exactly. Unless...
What?
This is a space baby, right? I mean, these creatures are born, they live and die in interstellar space.
Apparently.
Okay. All matter in space vibrates in a specific radiation band.
21 centimeters. Oh. Oh, that's good, Commander. That's very good. If we could alter the power frequency so that it's completely foreign to the life form's natural vibrations.
Might just give us enough to pour a little vinegar in baby's milk.
Yeah, we have to be careful, though. If we upset it this time, we might lose auxiliary power, too.
If we're gradual enough, it won't be such a shock. Hopefully, it'll just lose interest. LaForce to bridge.
Go ahead.
Captain, Dr. Brahms and I have a plan.
As the vast entities drift closer to the ship, Captain Picard walks slowly across the bridge. His eyes are locked on the viewing screen, showing the creature's approach, and a mixture of hope and anxiety flickers in his eyes.
2 minutes until the creatures intercept, Captain.
Picard barely registers Worf's warning as he watches the creatures, but slowly he turns and walks back towards Riker.
Captain, we're ready down here.
Proceed.
Lowering wavelength in the energy system, now.
Reading 18, 15, 13, 11, 8, 5, 3. Now at the 2 centimeter level.
Any reaction, Bridge?
Negative. I detect no reduction in the life form's rate of energy consumption.
1 minute, 30 seconds to intercept.
Not sour enough. Leah, take it down further.
Reading 1, 0.8, 0.4, 0.2.
I guess it noticed what we're doing.
The life form is emitting its high-frequency transmission. Energy consumption is rising, sir.
Captain, the creatures are accelerating their approach. They are changing color. Mr. Forge!
Captain, just a little more time. Lee, nudge it down even further toward 0.02.
30 seconds to intercept.
0.08. 05. 03.
Now at 0.02 centimeters.
Auxiliary generator's losing power, Captain.
The bridge crew stares anxiously at the three creatures on the screen as they change color from a purple pink to a livid fluorescent green. The Enterprise shudders violently, but suddenly stops. Tranquility drifts over the spaceship as the motion ceases.
The entity has disengaged, sir. Power levels are returning to normal, Captain.
The baby creature wriggles towards the other three, whose colors revert slowly to the purple-pink.
Bring the engines online and take us out of here.
Aye, sir.
Mr. Forge? Dr. Brahms, congratulations. You weaned the baby.
Good work.
You too.
I admit it. I did get a little attached to that lady in the holodeck.
The computer never told you that I was married.
I never asked, see? And the computer is notorious for not volunteering information.
You know, I really owe you an apology.
No, you don't. I should have told you straight out.
Well, if you had, then I never would have had a chance to see the look on your face when you walked in on me and me in the holodeck.
The look on my face? How about the look on your face? I will remember that for a long, long time.
I wouldn't change a thing, except for the way I behaved. I guess I came here with my own set of preconceptions about you.
Well, I guess I'm just glad that I got the opportunity to get to know you. The real you.
Me too.
Warp to LaForge. There is an incoming message on subspace for Dr. Brahms.
Acknowledge, Worf. LaForge out.
My husband.
Geordi nods, and Dr. Brahms lowers her eyes, smiling shyly before moving to stand. Geordi politely rises with her and watches her leave. His shoulders droop slightly as she exits, and he sits slowly back down, nursing his drink, lost in thought. The end.